Last week we began discussing some of the halachas of Tchum Shabbos. So just to recap a little bit in order to get to where we're up to. We mentioned that there's two concepts of Tchum Shabbos. That is to say that there is a halacha that a person is not allowed to go outside of 2,000 amos, roughly three quarters of a mile, from either from where he began Shabbos, or if he started Shabbos within a city, so then the entire city is considered like his own makom. The entire city is as if the whole thing is only his own dalet amos, and we count to 2,000 amos the tchum from the outskirts of the city, from the borders of the city. So that's one concept of tchum of 2,000 amos. Then there's another idea of tchum, which comes from the Yerushalmi, of tchum of yud beis mil, 12 mil, which is 12 times 2,000 amos. 2,000 amos is 1 mil. So when we talk about 12 mil, we mean a tchum which is 12 times the size. It's approximately 8.5 miles, roughly. And that's so that idea that you say, well, if you already can't go out of 2,000 amos, 1 mil, so obviously you can't go to 12 mil. But the difference is that the boundary of 12 mil, according to many, is a deraisa, and that's why it's mashma shulchan aruch. That's actually a din deraisa that you can't travel out of 12 mil from when you began Shabbos. The idea that you can't travel out of 1 mil, out of 2,000 amos, that's a din derabanan. There's an opinion in Shas that's deraisa, but we paskin clearly that's only derabanan. But the idea that you can't go out of 12 mil, that's already a din deraisa, and it's going to make a real nafkamin, a real difference in the halacha, as hopefully we'll get to tonight, right? So Shem, we're to see where it makes a real difference, whether it's the Rabbanan or Deraisa. So that's the basic idea of what a tchum is. And we had mentioned that just like a person himself, the individual is restricted not to travel out of the tchum, similarly his possessions, his animals and all his belongings cannot be taken out of the tchum, even by someone else, meaning even if there's someone who has a different tchum than him, which overlaps his tchum, he's not allowed to take this person. In other words, Reuven has tchum here, and Shimon has a tchum which overlaps. So Shimon, when Reuven and Shimon meet up in the middle, in the common area, Shimon can't take anything from Reuven and then travel with it outside of Reuven's tchum, even though he's within Shimon's tchum. But since it's Reuven's possession, and it began Shabbos under Reuven's control, so it has Reuven's tchum, and Shimon can't take it out. Okay, these are some of the main points that were mentioned last week when it comes to tchum. So just want to say over one couple of these shilas I discussed here Shabbos morning, and which maybe just mentioned briefly, and then there's something which wasn't discussed there yet. The first idea is that if somebody goes out of town for Shabbos and he leaves, obviously he leaves behind a house full of his belongings. So those belongings are considered to be out of the tchum. Why? Because they go with him. We just said that a person's belongings have his tchum. So if my tchum is in, I live in Miami and I left my stuff in Miami, but I start Shabbos in New York, that means my tchum is now the tchum of New York. I'm allowed to walk throughout whatever is considered the city of New York and 2,000 amos. But that's it. My stuff in Miami also has that tchum because it has my tchum. But since it's located in Miami, it's automatically out of the tchum. It starts off Shabbos already out of the tchum. And the din is, if something is out of the tchum, it can only be moved 4 amos. That's the halacha of Shvu Ish Tachtav, that a person who, if a person leaves his tchum, he only has 4 amos from where he is, and if his belongings leave their tchum, or in this case they were never in the tchum, but his belongings began Shabbos out of the tchum, they can only be moved 4 amos. Now 4 amos isn't entirely literal, because we said that if it's within a area that has mechitzas around it, then the entire mechitzas is considered 4 amos for this halacha. So that means you, the things you left in your house could be moved within your house for sure. And if it's an area where there's an Erev, a kosher Erev, which means that there are mechitzas around the city, Sarissa Pesach and whatever else it takes to make a mechitza to carry. So that's also a mechitza vis-a-vis with regards to Tchum. And therefore, if anybody who holds of the Erev and relies on the Erev could carry or wear my items within the entire Erev, but not beyond the Erev. So that, for example, let's say I went out of town and I have a neighbor of mine has a set of my keys always, or I have a combination on my door. My neighbor knows how to get in. And I've always told them in the past that they know that there's no question that if I'm out of town and they need whatever is a food item, they ran out of sugar, and they want to borrow sugar from my house or take sugar from my house, they understand that they have the right to do that. No hakpada whatsoever. But when I'm out of town on Shabbos or Yom Tov, so then the sugar in my house has my tchum, and it could only walk Dalet Amos. It could only move Dalet Amos. So if there's no if my possessions are left behind in a city where there's no Erev, or where the Erev happens to be down that Shabbos, that happens sometimes, right? Even the cities that have Erev, neighborhoods that have Erev, it's not unheard of that the Erev is down for a Shabbos. And the neighbor wants to borrow sugar, it's a problem. They can't, because if they can't take the sugar out of my house more than, they can only move it within the walls of my house, which is Dalet Amos, but they can't take it one step out of the house. And you say, well, there's no Erev, they can't carry anyway. Well, let's say it's Yom Tov. You can carry on Yom Tov, right? You can carry food on Yom Tov, but Tchum applies on Yom Tov, so they can't take.
Let's say they borrow your suit.
Borrowed it?
Okay. The
okay, so if they borrow it before Shabbos.
If they come on Shabbos.
No, then
the sugar.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah, that would be another example. Right,
there's no air, there's no
right. Another example, right? Yeah, that's next thing someone's going to get to, right? It's less likely that they're going to go and borrow my suit, my cup of sugar is one thing, but you're right. And that I think I said this when I gave the share here 2 weeks ago. This is a Maisa Shahai. I remember once in Chicago with somebody, his parents were out of town. He was a married person, he had his own house in Chicago, and his parents lived elsewhere in the same neighborhood, but a number of blocks away. And he was happened to be walking on the block, his parents' block, and it started raining heavily. So he said, Baruch Hashem, I'm right on my parents' block. So he went into his parents' house. His parents were out of town for Shabbos. He went into his parents' house. He was able to get in, a combination, whatever it was, and to borrow a raincoat. The way his father wouldn't actually borrow his raincoat, and to put on his raincoat and be able to continue on his walk wherever he was going without getting soaked. But I don't remember if that time there was an Erev there, or if this person held the Erev, that whatever it was. But that would be an example where if there's no Erev there, or if you don't rely on the Erev, you consider it to be killed, there's no Erev, so then you couldn't do that. You couldn't take the raincoat. It's like the suit, same idea, right? And he couldn't wear it out of the house. What?
Raincoat is wearing.
Correct. But where you're not allowed to wear things out of the tchum either. Just like you can't carry them out of the tchum. You can't
wear a coat outside the tchum?
Correct. Outside the tchum of the... Exactly. I mean, normally you can't go out of the tchum anyway, so it's not going to make a difference. But what's that?
Carrying the coat, you're not carrying it. If you're wearing the coat, you're not carrying.
Correct. But it's nothing to do with carrying. You're not carrying yourself either, but you can't go out of the tchum, right? Not carrying myself, I'm just walking.
You're saying the chafetz that you're wearing, you're carrying it out of the tchum.
I'm transporting it. If you have the word carrying, nothing to do with carrying. I'm moving it. But again, let's look at the case where I'm in New York, my possessions are here in a place, Miami, the Erev is down, so just let's not get political about whether it's... The Erev is down, so there's no Erev. Okay, so somebody wants to come into my house and borrow my jacket or my coat or my whatever it is and wear it. My son's walking by and he wants to borrow... I have a hat that, he wants to borrow my hat. He couldn't wear my hat out of the house because the hat has my tchum, which is the tchum in New York, and therefore it's limited to the four walls of the house. It can only move within the walls of the house, and it can't be taken out of the house, even if he's not carrying it. Even if he puts it on his head and he's wearing it, he would not be allowed to wear it out of my house on Shabbos.
Why not? That's just because you're in another city.
Right.
If you were in Miami and there's no Eruv, you can just go there.
No problem. Hat
and go out.
Correct. 100%. It's because I started Shabbos in a different city, so my hat and all of my other possessions have my tchum. And my tchum is the tchum of New York. So Miami's out of the tchum of New York, so my possessions can't be taken out of my house. Now, Kalsman, there is an Erev. It's like, say, go within the Erev, but beyond the Erev, it can't go. Or beyond, and if there's no Erev, it can't go beyond the walls of the house. So this is one example of something, and it could be very nogay on Yom Tov, because in Yom Tov you could carry, you know, regardless of Erev, not Erev, regardless of whether you hold of an Erev, in Yom Tov you can carry. And in Yom Tov it's very common that people are out of town, and they very often, a neighbor might, you know, have reason to want to borrow something. And it's more than that. So the question becomes, well, if I lent somebody something before Shabbos or before Yom Tov, if I lent it to them, then it gets their tchum, regardless of where I am, whether I'm in town, I'm out of town. But the halacha is that a shoel who borrows an item, so the item he borrowed takes on his tchum, right? Okay, so what if there are people staying in my house, I'm in New York, but my neighbor who's in Miami has somebody over for Yom Tov, and they're staying in my house because they don't have enough sleeping space in their house, so they're sleeping in my house. So what is there anything in my house that's considered to be under their control that they could, in other words, I tell them, yeah, sure, you want to borrow a safer, no problem, but could they take a safer off my shelf and carry it out of the house to the house they're staying in, even though I'm not makbid, I have no problem, but pashtus, no, unless I lent them the svarim before Shabbos, or I gave them, I made them achray over the svarim, I gave them control, I said, okay, you could in a sense borrow, because to borrow, you don't have to make a kinyan for this. It's just if they're in control of it.
If I would say that make yourself at home, is that...
Well, okay, but I don't think it makes sense to go into my bedroom and open my drawer and look, see which pair of cufflinks I have that you want to borrow. I don't think it means that. Or, go into my closet and go through my personal belongings and see what you want to borrow, right? I doubt it means that.
But general other items, yes?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends what. I mean, I wouldn't want them to take my leichter out of the house either. Maybe if they're using it in the house, but I'm just lending it to them. I mean, would complicate. So I would think that no, in that case, they're really not sure. Even like Gabi Hilko's mumminus, let's say Chas V'Shalom is some sort of incident in someone's house, in someone else, a fictitious person. There's some sort of incident in the house, a fire or a theft, while there are people staying there, right? And they weren't pushy at all. They locked the door, they did everything, but they weren't Peshaya, but unfortunately it happened. So are they responsible? Are they considered Shoel? Did they borrow? We use Lashon, can I borrow your house? They borrowed my house. Did they, my neighbor in town borrowed my house, right? They borrowed my house for their guests. Did they borrow my belongings? Are they responsible? If they weren't at all negligent. It just happened. It was in somebody's house. It happened. There was a fire in the person's house through an electrical fire or something. Nobody did anything wrong. It just, so... Are they responsible? Because if they had borrowed it, they're responsible, right? Anything they borrowed, they're responsible for even the onus. So I don't think that we would say they borrowed my personal belongings in the house. And probably even for theft, as long as they locked the door, maybe they're a shomer, some sort of shomer, shomer chena, maybe. But I don't think they're not a shoel on my items in my house. Even though I told them, yeah, if you want to take a safer off the shelf and learn in the house, please go right ahead. But if somebody comes in and steals my Gemara Baba Kamer from the shelf, I don't think it's a bad mesechta to steal. Huh? It's a good mesechta to steal because he won't be able to find out if he's chayav or not. You don't have the Gemara. Anyway, but I don't think that they'd be responsible. I don't think the person who borrowed my house is responsible for my Gemara Baba Kamer that somebody's walked away with. Okay, so the guy is responsible. And what about if I'm out of town and my wife's home? So is like everything under her control now? Certainly the common things in the house, but what about my clothing that she doesn't wear? So is it considered that she does have her tchum and my tchum? If she wants to, someone knocks on the door and wants to borrow a raincoat, your husband's out of town, can I borrow his raincoat or can I borrow his tie? And I wouldn't be mocked, but could she lend it to him on Shabbos? Is it like under her control that it has her tchum because she's here in town, so she could lend it to someone? No, does that my tchum? Ishtok gufo, but what is it? What does that mean?
It's like you're there as well.
Yes, I'm sorry. This is my
so it's like the person's there as well.
Oh, really? It's like I'm there. I mean, so I'm not even out of the tchum.
Right.
No, it doesn't go that far. Mishnah Guguf has its limitations. Okay. Anyway, so some of these points are unclear, but let's not. Well, what is clear is that if my house is empty, I'm out of town with my wife, and the house is empty, and my neighbor wants to come in on Shabbos and borrow something. They have to keep in mind tchumen. They can only move it within, dalet amos. So, like I said, if there's an eruv, functional eruv, which they rely on, and they can move within the eruv, but they couldn't rely move it out of the eruv. And if there's no eruv, they can't even move it out of the house. That was point number one. The second point I spoke about this past Shabbos was what happens when there were a lot of cases in Shas discussed where a person has to leave the tchum. For example, for Hatzalas Nefashos, right? So let's get the best possible case. A person's wife goes into labor on Shabbos, and he has to take her to the hospital, or travel. He's traveling with her, whether he's driving or not. Hopefully, he's be able to get a non-Jew to drive for him, to drive them. But he accompanies his wife out of to the hospital. Once the hospital's out of the tchum, the particular hospital that they need to go to is out of the tchum. So the Achronim are bothered that it doesn't seem anywhere. L'chara, he has a right to go out of the Tchum, and so does she, right? But what right do they have to take anything extra that they don't absolutely need out of the Tchum? So, meaning even clothing, beyond basic clothing. They talk about, like, what does the man have a right to wear a jacket or a tie or even a talis katan? Well, he's going out of the Tchum. And so he's going out of the Tchum, so he has to go. Pikuach nefesh. No, he has to accompany his wife. She's allowed to, for each of the dies, allowed to accompany his wife, but he doesn't need to wear a jacket, or he's assuming it's the weather doesn't require it. He's not going to get sick. He's not going to get harmed. So he doesn't need that. So what's the heter to him? Why does he have to take off his tie and his jacket and his hat and just just go with basic clothing and his talis katan? Rav Shlomo Zalman asks. He says you're not allowed to go out of the tchum to get a shofar for a shoshana, or to have a guy bring in a shofar from out of the tchum. So why are you allowed to walk out of the tchum with your talis katan? Maybe you should take that off also. But we don't find such a thing. There are numerous cases in Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim where they talk about going out of the tchum, and nobody ever said halt, before you go out of the tchum, assuming that the time allows it. You should take, leave these things behind. So there are a few different mahalchim to try to understand why that is, but I'll just say Rosh Shlomo Zalman's own mahalach, which I believe the Shalas Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak also says, is that the lashon of the Gemara or the Mishnah is habehema v'hakelim, a person's animals and possessions, is karaglei habaylim. Karaglei habaylim means that wherever the Bailim could walk, his possessions could walk. Karagle Bailim means it has the tchum of the Bailim. So when Shabbos starts, it's determined where you could walk. You started Shabbos here, you could walk 2,000 amos around here or around this city. So that's where your possessions could go. So says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, maybe included within that idea of Karagle Bailim is that when your din changes, when you have a right to walk out of what was normally your ragli habayim, your tchum ended here, but now that you have a pikuach nefesh situation, you have a right to go out of there, to go beyond there. So maybe your possessions also could go with you, meaning your nechasim, all your nechasim change because your din changed. So their din changed because by the way, the din, if a person goes for the pikuach nefesh. There we don't say, normally we say if you left the tchum, you only have four amos, right? We said that before. Even if you left the tchum ba'onis, even if Goyim picked somebody up and forced him out of the tchum, he only has dalet amos, assuming, no safety issue. Once the danger passed, and now he's out of the tchum, he only has four amos. But if you went out to save a life, you intentionally left the tchum on a hatzalah call, to help a woman in childbirth, or to save from a fire, or any other case where you went for pikuach nefesh, your own or someone else's, the din is you get a new tchum. Wherever you land up, let's say you land up at the hospital, you get the tchum of the hospital. It's as if you start in Shabbos in the hospital and you get 2,000 amos around the hospital or around the city that the hospital is located in. That's a special din, in order not to discourage people from leaving the tchum when it's necessary for pikuach nefesh. Okay, so says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, maybe including Karagli Abayla means that now since you have a new tchum, so your possessions have a new tchum. But he says, but that would be not just the things you took with you, all your possessions. So now everything you left back home is now out of the tchum, because your tchum changed. Keragle habaylim. He's mechadish that keragle habaylim means not only where Shabbos started, wherever you could walk, they could walk, but where, even if on Shabbos your halacha changes, then everything you own, the halacha changes. So the animals and the possessions you left behind in Miami when you went out to a hospital in Hollywood, let's say it's out of the, assuming it's out of the tchum, so your possessions now have the that you left behind in Miami are now out of the tchum, and it goes back to our previous discussion that nobody could take anything out of your house, whatever it is. This is what Rishlam Zalman wanted to be mechadish in order to answer this kasha of why, and then Mimele you wouldn't be limited. You wouldn't have to take anything off because it goes with you. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Beitza, I think, in Daf Mem or Mem Aleph. Yeah, take a look there. But there's another possibility, and that is as follows. This is a shaila. Sometimes Mechadish is to answer kashas, but I don't think he. He felt that this is vadai correct. It's just it would answer a lot of kashas. But so let's say it's a suffix. If a person knows before Shabbos that he's going to have to leave the tchum on Shabbos, where there's a good chance, let's say his wife is in her ninth month, maybe she's already in the beginnings of labor, but they can't go to the hospital yet, and they might not have to go, whatever it is. Ends up, but he knows they might have to go on Shabbos, or for any other reason, let's say. So, some give an etzah that he should be mafkir. He should make his possessions that he wants to take with him, his clothing and whatever else, food or whatever else, take them, make it hefker. Why? Because the halach is things that are hefker have no tchum. Something that when it starts off Shabbos, it's ownerless, it has no tchum. If it belongs to a non-Jew, it has the tchum of the non-Jew, even though a non-Jew is not bound by tchumen, right? Doesn't have to keep Shabbos, he doesn't have to keep Hilchos Tchumen. But vis-a-vis me, I have to view his nechasim that they have his tchum. Well, for example, let's say a non-Jew borrows something of mine before Shabbos. I lent him a, whatever it is, some sort of keli, right? I lent him a coat. And it's Friday afternoon when Shabbos starts. It's under his control. So it has his tchum. If he returns it to me on Shabbos, and he lives, I don't know, wherever he lives in Boca Raton. On Shabbos afternoon, he comes driving up to my door and returns my coat. Okay, I didn't ask him to, obviously, to return on Shabbos, but he says, I was in the neighborhood, I wanted to thank you very much for your coat, I don't need it anymore. And he comes in, he comes into my house and he puts the coat down. So the halacha is that coat is considered chutz l'chum. I can't take it out of Dalet Amos, again the house or the Erev, because it started off Shabbos under his control, legitimately. I'd lent it to him, so it has his tchum. His tchum is in Boca Raton. It's not nogea him. He's not Jewish, but it's nogea me. Okay, so that's by the goy's nechasim. But let's say something's hefker, Beit Hashmash, nobody owned it, then it has no tchum. And if somebody were to take possession of it on Shabbos, it would get his tchum. If nobody takes possession on Shabbos and just picks it up and moves it, you can move it anywhere. Wherever you go, wherever you can go, you can move it. Somebody else takes it, he can move it wherever he can go because it has no tchum. Nichse hefker ein lehem tchum. It's a machlokas in the Tanoim and Erevin, but that's how we pass it.
So how can anyone ship anything that's going to go over Shabbos? Let's say someone ships something that's going to go over Shabbos.
Why? Because you're sending it out of the tchum? Well, I mean, let me ask a big question. How are you allowed to ship anything? If ship means somebody's driving it or flying it in a plane or something, how's it, right? That means if that's okay, meaning I gave it to the post office before Shabbos and I didn't tell them when to deliver it, or I gave it to FedEx, whatever, so I didn't tell them when to deliver it. So if I'm allowed to give it to them and they're allowed to do malacha with it, they're certainly allowed to take it out of the tchum, right? No, I'm not taking it out of the tchum. They are. And I didn't ask them to.
Right.
So it's not worse the fact that they're driving it in their FedEx truck on Shabbos. Okay. So, but something which hefker has no tchum. So if you mafker your things before Shabbos, then you won't have a problem. you know, if I know if I have to take my last month Shabbos, I really want to wear this tie, because you know, anytime I go leave my house on Shabbos, I got to be wearing this tie. I'm like, why would this? So I'm off, or silly, but whatever you're gonna wear, I want to wear a tie, I want to wear a jacket, I want to wear my talis cotton. So be mafka the things before Shabbos. Rav Moshe Feinstein, it gives this etza by a case. I mentioned this on Shabbos, a case of he was asked by a person, or on behalf of a person in the Israeli army. And this is Bishash Shalom. This is during a time when things were peaceful, but they had to do border patrol. They had to, you know, drive up and down the border between whatever border it was, it's irrelevant, to make sure that things stay peaceful. Make sure for the safety and security of the people. So they were allowed to be in that Jeep or whatever vehicle they were in, and maybe even they had a non-Jew driving, I don't know, yes or not, whatever sakim, you know, whatever standards they work with. But this soldier, who was a firm soldier, wanted to know, could he take a safer with him? He says that, like, there's a lot of downtime. It's not like they're standing there the whole time, Hawkeye with a, you know, with a machine gun or whatever. They're in this, he's in this Jeep, but there's plenty of time, and he's not going to be the whole time right. He's going to be dropped off then and be able to sit for 2 hours and eat a Shabbos food and whatever. So could he take a safer with him though? They're driving him out of the Tchum. Could he take a safer? Or no, he can't take whatever, anything he absolutely doesn't need. He didn't ask about, could he wear a tie? I'm sure I don't think he's wearing a tie in the army. But he didn't ask, you know, whatever, but he asked, could he take a safer with him? So Rav Moshe has two tshuvas about this, but the second tshuva, this is in the I think Or Chaim Hay. In the second tshuva, he says that the eitza that was suggested, that he should be mafker the sefer before Shabbos, is a correct eitza. Yes, he should do that. He should mafker the sefer, and then he can no problem, he can take it with you, and there's no tchum issue. And he says there and have in mind when he uses on Shabbos not to be zoch on it, not to take possession of it. And he says, I think it's a good idea even that somebody, he said that even after Shabbos, he shouldn't be zoch on it again, to make it more real. Because it shouldn't just look like kenunya, mafka, now after Shabbos, all of a sudden now you became so protective of it's yours. To make it more real that it's really hefka, so don't even take possession of it. And he says, you know what, it's even a good idea. They should have a few sfarim like that around at the army bases from soldiers that they can take and write in them. This sfarim are hefker, and we request of anyone who takes it to use not to take possession of it, leave it as hefker and use it, you know, you're free to use it, but please do everyone a favor and let it stay hefker, because theoretically somebody could take, let it remain hefker. That's what Moshe writes, right? And this way there'll be some svarim in the for when things are calm and peaceful and they just have to be there, instead of standing around the city around doing nothing when they don't have to be on guard mamish, let them be able to sit and learn and do the parasha and whatever else. So that's another eitza of being mafker things before. So I mentioned that in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, we talks about, you know, he's very practical safer, meaning besides he doesn't just have the Shabbos, but he tries to speak in practical terms about, you know, give real cases and in other words, it's not just divided up by malacha. Some parts of it are, but parts of it divided up by, okay, halacha of going to the hospital on Shabbos, whatever halacha, whatever malachas that might involve, or whatever din that might involve, or, you know, things like that. So he talks about a person who taking his wife to the hospital on Shabbos, and he's talking about driving. He mentions Eretz Yisrael, where at least at certain times, sometimes, you know, there wasn't a Yehudi available to drive, so to drive himself. So he says he should definitely take out of the car any heavy items, any items that he doesn't need which are heavy, meaning items which will cause extra fuel combustion, because he's driving on Shabbos and he wants to do as little malach as possible. So the heavier the load, the more fuel he's combusting. So take out of the car anything that you don't need, which is heavy. Then he says, as far as items which are not heavy, which are just negligible, they're not going to make any difference in the amount of fuel that is consumed or combusted. So he says, but if they're things that you don't need, then take them out of the car so as not to take them out of the trum on Shabbos for no reason. See, if it comes up on Shabbos, you can't. It doesn't help to be mafkrid. It only helps to be mafkrid before Shabbos. And it could be. I think he gives that etzah. I think he discussed that etzah. I don't remember that for sure. But he says. But if you weren't things that you weren't mafkir, because let's say you didn't know, you didn't realize you go. You, and it came up at Shabbos that you have to drive out of the tchum. So anything in the car that's you don't need. Again, he's talking about when it's you have the time. We're not talking about that you have to rush. You know, by the second somebody Chaman Slan is a medical emergency, which you have to rush. I'm talking about it takes wife to hospital, but. You know, they have a few minutes. She's getting ready. She's putting her things together. It's not like that second, but they must go on Shabbos. They can't wait. But they have 5 minutes. They have 10 minutes. So take out of the car anything that's not needed, even if it's not heavy, so that you don't take it out of the tchum. Okay. Now, for things that you do need or that you do want, he relies on Rosh Shlomo Zalman, I think, meaning let's say food and stuff. For that, he relies on Rosh Shlomo Zalman. He doesn't say, you know, dress down to the bare minimums, take away. He doesn't say to do that because he's relying on Rosh Shlomo Zalman's chiddush for where it's necessary that you're whatever the tchum's item will change with as your tchum change, so will their tchum. But he's not relying on that when you need it for things that you don't need it. You have just extra things lying around in the trunk of your car that's just sitting there for storage, and you have absolutely no need for them. So why do you have to rely on this chiddush for that? You rely on the fitting shape. Okay. The third area I want to discuss, and this I didn't discuss at all on Shabbos, probably will this coming Shabbos, Hashem, but is that of the following. What about a person who is traveling on Erev Shabbos, and he gets traveling by air, and he gets extremely delayed. He gets delayed, and he ends up being on a plane when Shabbos starts and lands, it's already after it says it's already Shabbos. So what is his halacha vis-a-vis tchumen? Now, because you know, a person has to be very, very careful before Shabbos not to get into such a situation for a host of reasons, of hilcha Shabbos reasons. Tchum not the least of them, but for many, many reasons. But sometimes it happens that he got on a plane and he was on early in, you know, even in the morning, and they took probably everyone's heard, many of us have heard cases like this. The plane left from the gate area, and it's out there waiting and sitting on the plane for hours. And to take off, and they won't let him. By that time, he for sure would get off the plane, but they won't let him off the plane. They're not going back to the gate, and he can't. He tells my Sabbath, and that it ain't working. And because they've been standing in line to take off for whatever, and if they have to go back to the plane to the gate, they're gonna have a whole a few hundred people very disgruntled, people who are already on the edge of their nerves because they're sitting on a plane for a couple of hours, and then now they have to go back to the gate because there's a Sabbath observer who insists on getting off. You could try, but it might not work. So the person got stuck, and they finally took off, and they're not going to land until after Shabbos. It's a few hour flight, not going to land until after Shabbos. So what's his din? Legabi Tchumen. He came from, normally you come from out of the Tchum, you only get Dalet Amos, right? That's normally the din. But the question is it any different here?
Can he go out of the plane?
Well, again, he's not going to have a choice about that.
So they
will escort him off the plane. Yeah. So the question is, can he go out of the terminal? Or does he have to stay in the terminal the whole Shabbos? Assuming it's safe, I'm talking about a woman traveling alone where maybe it's not safe. I'm not talking about that. It's safe. And, that's the question. Does he have to stay in the terminal? So what's the shahada? Why don't we say, yeah, you came from out of the tchum, even if it was only, even if we said before, even if villains, thugs force you out of the tchum, you only have dalet amos. So he only has dalet amos. Now, the reason why it may not be is a concept that I mentioned last time, and that is that there's a shail in the Gemara. This is an Erev in Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Yesh tchumen lamala me asar tfachim. Is there a din of tchumen above 10 tfachim? O ein tchumen lamala me asar tfachim. Or is there no din of tchumen? If a person is bein hashmashos, when Shabbos begins, which is the time that you're normally kona shvisa, he's above 10 tfachim. So the Gemara has a shaila whether whether he gets a makam shvisa, whether tchum affects him, or also can a person just travel? If a person is able to travel above 10 tefachim, the examples of the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch brings down in Siman Taf Dalid, kagon shekafas al gabe yamudim, he's jumping on pillars, shegevoim asar, which are 10 tefachim high, and they're not 4x4 tefachim wide, so they don't have a din of their own like rishus. They don't become like the ground, like a separate rishus. It's considered that he's above the ground, as if he's floating in the air. He happens to be standing on something, fine, but it's like he's floating on the air. And the same thing would apply to a person who was able to float in the air.
The plane is more than 4 feet.
Right, but the plane is so you ask about the plane is its own, but the plane is not connected to the ground. These are moving, we're talking, if they're connected to the ground and they're 10 tefachim, even if they're 10 tefachim high and 4x4, they're considered part of, you know, extension of the ground. But the plane's not extension of the ground, it's way off the ground, 35,000 feet up high or more. So the plane's not extension of the ground. So it wouldn't make a difference. He's still considered, he has a din of being above 10 tefachim. So the shaila is there a din of tchum above 10 tchum or not? It's a shaila which the Gemara does not resolve. So since the Gemara doesn't resolve it, says the Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Taf Dalid, anything that's nogeya a din duraisa, you have to be machmir. But mashia b'durabanan, what's nogeya din durabanan suffik lahakel. If it's nogeya din derabanan, you could be mekel because of this safek. So, for example, if you're only traveling out of the tchum of 2,000 amos, but you don't travel yud beis mil, you don't travel 8.5 miles, then it's only a shaila of a derabanan, you could be mekel. The shaila is, though, if you're traveling more than yud beis mil, which the Shulchan Aruch is mashma he holds is a din de oraisa. Yud Beis Mil, as we mentioned. So, if you're traveling out of Yud Beis Mil, then you might be touching on it. You're lechar touching on the Raisa. However, it's still not so pashut, because the din da Raisa of Tchumen, first of all, it doesn't apply over water. There's no din da Raisa of Tchum over water. And according to some, and you'll see it in a second why, according to some, there's no din tchumen even in a karmelis, any area which is not a rishus harabim de oraisa. Why is that? Because where is the din tchum learned from? We saw last week, it was in last week's parsha. Parsha where they said to the Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, when they were in the Machne Yisrael, Shvu ish tachtav, stay in your place. Al yeitze ish mimakomo bayom ha-shvi. Don't leave your makom on Shabbos. That's where the din tchum came from. Right? What was their makom? The Machne Yisrael. The Machne Yisrael was Rosh Hasharabit. Right? Machne Rosh Hasharabit. So a number of Acharim say the din tchumen only, midoraisa, only applies in Rosh Hasharabit. Everyone agrees that it doesn't apply over water. Over water is not bichlal doma to the Machne Yisrael. It's not even land. It's water. So that's for sure. There's no tchum d'oraisa. D'rabbanan, yes, but not d'oraisa. But over areas which are land, but they're not Rosh Hasharabim. It's only karmelis. That is a shaila nechron. And Rabbi Kiveger and the Shulchan Acharav and the Minchas Pitim say there's no tchum even there. There's no tchum deraisa. Derabanan, yes, but not deraisa. There's no tchum deraisa except over Rosh Hasharabim. So then when the plane is flying over, so first of all, plane's flying over water, for sure, not an issue. But the thing is, usually, even though many airports are located near water, but it's not mamish by the edge of the, you know, by the edge of the water. I believe there's usually or maybe always 8 miles, 8.5 miles, more than that from the edge, from the shore, or from the edge of the where the land meets the water until where the airport is.
Which is where you start counting the coming
in. You don't start counting until you come within 10 tefachim of the ground. But what I'm saying, well. No, I'm sorry. Let me be clear. The gabe, the din of knowing, did you go out of Yud Beis Mil, right? We want to know. If you didn't go out of Yud Beis Mil, if you only traveled 2,000 Amos, you could be Mekel, right? Because you're above 10.
Okay.
But right, but we want to know, right? Well, okay, that's your main way. We want to know, did you travel above 10 Tfachim in a way that would be a violation of Tchum Daraisa? So Kalsman, you're over water. The answer is no. You're flying over the Atlantic, or then no, you have not violated, you've not gone out more than Yud Beis Mil in an area that's Min HaTorah, because over the water is not Min HaTorah. But once you go over the land, that gets into the Machlokes, Pashas in the Shulchan Aruch, it is Daraisa. Yud Beis Mil over land, even though it's not Rosh Hashanah, is Daraisa. According to Rabbi Kiveyor and the other Achorim I mentioned, it's not. It's still not Daraisa. So that's one child. Could you, one side to be Mekel is based on this.
Is this talk to the Carmelists, or is it?
It's a karmelist, but we're saying they hold that Tchum Daraisa is only over Rosh Hashanah, not over Karmelist.
I'm saying when we fly over those areas, it's not, those are not Rosh
Hashanah. Almost never. I mean, because it's very rare to have Rosh Hashanah nowadays altogether. And at least, you know, Rosh Hashanah Daraisa, according to, again, going with the Shita, that Rosh Hashanah Daraisa means 600,000 people. Typically, though, that, you know, probably between where the airport and the edge of the water, very often would not be. Very often, yeah, it could be. Yeah, it could be case of going over.
You fly like New York City, I'm saying.
Well, okay, that could be. It depends where you fly. If you fly over Brooklyn, over Ocean Parkway, you could end up flying. But okay, so then you wouldn't have this tziruf, right? You wouldn't, but if you fly, I think in many places in that, you know, you fly you the areas which are not as densely populated as New York City or Manhattan or Brooklyn, then you will very often not. You won't have, you will not be out of Yud Beis Mil. So that's one suffix. But, so if that's the case, if we're going to be Mekel in that, it'll come out that you only have to start counting your Tchumen once you are within 10 Tvachim of the ground. Kolzman, you're above 10 Tvachim of the ground, don't worry about it. Once the plane comes in 10 Tvachim of the ground, which is when it's about to land, obviously, 10 Tvachim is 40 inches or whatever. I mean, it's about to land. So where are you then? So then you're over the airfield, right? The plane is definitely flying within 40 inches over the air, over the runway before it
touches down,
right? I think that's a pretty safe assumption. It's not like a bird that could just fly. So, so the question is, do you, if the airport is within the tchum of the city, so then great. Now then you're within the city. Now you say, well, the city. Well, we said if you come from outside your tchum, you only have Dalet Amos, right? So, or we said the entire mechitzas, but it would have to be an enclosed city, enclosed area. Lav Davka's an enclosed city, especially with the airport. Even many places that have Arabs, they have, in the Jewish community, that doesn't mean that where the airport is, there's an Arab, right? Very often there isn't. But then this will get into another sniff to say that there's a tzad that the entire city is still considered Dalet Amos, even though you didn't start off Shabbos there. Okay, so let's hold it with here. Maybe next time we'll pick up, we'll try to just finish off the sniffing that could be with the Shiloh, what the halacha l'mais would be. And then maybe one or two more shaylas of, you know, packages that come on Shabbos from outside of the Tchum, and see what we can do. Okay, so we'll leave it up.